The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm here with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are
I saw you were getting ready to talk there.
Yeah, she beat me to it.
I did. We have with us attorney Michelle O'Brien from the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
You're a regular.
You are.
You're like the new co-host. Have I been replaced?
You never know, Pat. I know. You better behave.
DC, it looks like I'm getting fired. You're fired.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many relentless realtors. We have been appraising, listing, and selling real estate for over 50 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab and get a live view of Dunmore Corners 24/7. We get a lot of hits on that. People look at it from all over the place. It's amazing.
View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, and look us up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest.
We're everywhere.
Okay, Attorney Michelle O'Brien, thanks for being here once again.
Absolutely.
We enjoy all that you have to tell us about, and we have a lot more questions. Today, I was hoping to go over title issues. What is title? Why it matters? But before we dive into that, would you please tell me who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm Michelle O'Brien. I am the owner and an attorney at the O'Brien Law Group, and I also have a title company called Pinnacle Abstract. We are located on Kaiser Avenue in Taylor, and our phone number is 570-209-7901.
You do a lot of real estate and gas leases,
yes.
Something that you really know a lot about.
Absolutely.
And you do commercial, business, and residential real estate?
Yes, all real estate for the most part.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Well-versed. All right. What is title?
So title is a little bit of the history of your home or the real estate that you're buying or selling for that matter, but it's really the history of what has happened in your property or to your property and who has owned it for all of the however many years since they started keeping records. We could research title all the way back to the beginning of the land records in whatever county you're in. When you receive a deed to your property, it gets recorded with the county, which means that your deed is actually available as a public record and people can go search on the computer now. It used to be only in the books at the courthouse, but now we can search on the computer for most counties. And you can see who has owned your house over time, who has had a mortgage and what mortgages were satisfied over time, if there were any easements or liens, which I know we'll talk about later, but any easements or liens filed against the property. It's basically the public history of whatever house you're buying or whatever commercial building you're buying.
Okay, so it shows the chain of ownership.
Absolutely.
And then title is different than deed.
A title is different than deed because
they're
title,
two separate things.
Yes, absolutely. The deed is actually the piece of paper or the document that transfers the ownership of the property, and title is the chain that makes up and tells you who actually owns the property at whatever given time.
So a lot of modern deeds look different than older deeds, right? So a lot of modern deeds, like deeds of today, say as per the previous chain of ownership, but it won't list all the different things like
right. So the way we search title is in your existing deed, it has what we call a being clause. It says, being the same property that was transferred to us by so-and-so. And then the way that a title searcher does it is they go back to the courthouse and they find that deed and find the being clause in that deed. And then it's like a little bit of a puzzle. You have to go back and find the previous deed before that and the previous one before that. And that's really how we determine what title looks like over time.
Is that how a surveyor determines how to go out and what the size of the property is? He has to go down and do the research also?
He usually, it depends on the surveyor, but usually, yes. Usually they will go down to the courthouse and check the deeds. And a surveyor is looking for something a little bit, not totally different. We're all looking at what's called the meets and bounds description, which is the way a surveyor would describe the outside boundaries of a property. But the surveyor goes to look to see what those meets and bounds specifically look like. A lot of times they have degrees in them, mm-hmm. or an arc or a curve or whatever all the terms are that surveyors use. And by looking at those meets and bounds descriptions, they can put together a picture of what your property actually looks like.
Oh, okay, good.
Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things that could be included in a chain of title that you wouldn't know about unless you went back and looked at it. And so, but modern times, homes sell quite frequently, right? So if someone just purchased a house last year, sells it this year for whatever reason, life changed, why does that new buyer have to have another title search?
So they don't have to. That's one thing that people regret is they find out because they didn't do a search in that situation. They find out that maybe the person before them didn't either, and something has come up. Maybe the person before them did, but in the last year, that person has some tax liens or there's some sort of inheritance tax filing or an easement or a lawsuit judgment, something like that, a bankruptcy. Anything can affect the chain of title, and a year is enough time to have a lot of problems that could potentially affect your ownership of the house or your title to the home.
Right, but if it's a lender that's involved, wouldn't they require it?
A lender always requires title insurance.
So if somebody pays cash, they could say they don't want a title search.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, so a title search is different than title insurance too. So you can get a title search, but it won't insure anything. It just tells you whatever that searcher found. And it also, sometimes you can say, I need a title search. Well, is that a title search since the last owner bought it? Or is it a title search for the last 60 years or 200 years? So it does matter. If we're doing an oil and gas search, we go back more than 150 years because that oil and gas could have been severed from the surface, and that could have happened 150 years ago, and that would not be covered by title insurance. But some people that, let's say you're going to, you get title insurance on your home, you buy it, you get title insurance, you have a lender, and now you're going to refinance 2 years later. You have to get the new lender title insurance again. You don't need title insurance if you bought it when you originally bought the home, but the new lender does. And they would only probably require a current owner search in that situation, which means they only really go back to when you bought the property because they know there was title insurance at that point.
Yes, but I would offer this. So many times we come across somebody that just purchased a property, say within the last 5 years, they go to sell it and the title search that their searcher did didn't reveal something that came up on this title search.
Sure, that does happen.
A lot.
That does happen.
Frequently.
So if the person who currently owns the home and is selling it got title insurance, and then let's say my company goes and does a new search for the new buyer, and we find an old mortgage that wasn't terminated or a tax lien that wasn't shown on the previous title insurance policy, We say to the seller, do you have a copy of your old title insurance policy? And we look at it. And if it is truly not on there, we contact their underwriter. So we have underwriters for title insurance, just like you would for life insurance or home insurance. And we contact that underwriter and we say, we're working on the sale of this house and we're working on our title insurance. And our search came up with an old mortgage from before your person bought it and a tax lien, something like that. And we say, how did you handle that? Can you look back in your file and tell us why it's not on your title commitment? And very often they have a good reason. They say, oh yeah, we found it. But then we also paid it off at closing and maybe it just wasn't released. And so then we can go and follow up and say, hey, here's the check. You cashed it. You need to terminate it. Or we can say, or they say, yeah, you know what? We didn't catch that. We're going to have to give you an indemnification letter and they indemnify over it. So there's lots and lots of creative ways to handle things like that. It's not the end of the day if you do find something like that.
But it delays things.
It can delay things.
Right, because you have to go and contact all these people and they have to look up stuff and it could be something that would take some time to sort out.
We're working on one right now. We have an old mortgage. This family had been transferred from family member to family member to family member over the years. There was never a mortgage that anybody was aware of. And so there was never any title insurance as they transferred it down the line. Well, three owners ago, our current seller's great uncle or something, he took out a mortgage in the 80s for like $3,000 or something, and the bank never terminated it. No problem. We'll go find it. We'll go find that bank and get a termination. Well, that bank went out of business, and who bought them or who bought all of their assets also then went out of business. And this happened like four times. So now we're dealing with trying to figure out who owns that and who can terminate it. And a title insurance company can agree to insure over that, meaning not put it on the title insurance, and we'll insure you just in case that somebody comes to claim on that mortgage. But in this situation, the seller or the buyer said, you know what, let's try and get it cleaned up because I don't want any problem when I go to sell the property later, which is an absolutely valid point as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what does a cloud on a title mean? We throw these words around and people have no idea what that means.
Yes. Yes. So we talked about deeds being the mechanism or the contract by which you actually transfer the title to the house. But a cloud on title would be something else, not a deed. Maybe it would be something in a deed, but it could be something like a judgment lien. If you get a judgment against you, let's say you didn't pay your credit cards and the credit card company took you to court.
A mechanics lien, could that be a cloud on the title?
A mechanics lien could be too. And a mechanics lien is obviously where you had a contractor at your house who didn't get paid and then they filed something against the property. It could be an easement from maybe even an unrecorded easement, but it could be a recorded easement. It could be somebody who died in the chain of title but didn't ever file their, nobody ever filed an inheritance tax return for them. All of these things affect title, but they're not actually the deed. So these are things that we would definitely find in a title search.
Mm-hmm. Unpaid taxes, liens, easements, errors in public records, surprise heirs or past owners that just come out of the woodwork.
Absolutely. If you have, let's say, a foreclosure maybe, or even an estate, if all of, or a tax sale, or, you know, sheriff sale, something like that, and all the proper parties were not notified the way they're supposed to be notified according to the law, then that could be something that could be a valid claim against the property for you. If somebody came out of the woodwork and said, I was never notified of that, and I'm supposed to be notified under the law, that is a real problem.
Forged documents or fraud in this chain of title. I'm sure that comes up.
It does, yes.
HOA violations and restrictions.
Comes up less, but it does come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were talking about easements. Could you explain what an easement is? Because we hear that all the time.
Absolutely.
And I would love to hear it.
Sure. So an easement would be, think about if you have probably our most common situation with residential properties. is two houses that are right next to each other, and they have a driveway in between the two of them.
How often do you hear this, Jackie?
Yeah.
This is like every other day.
I had a house that I shared a driveway, and, you know, of course, it's split down the middle.
Oh, my God.
But who's, you know, where is the line exactly? But that would be an easement. That it would need to be recorded as an easement in the land records. Usually we can find it. There's usually an easement for a shared driveway, but sometimes there's not. Sometimes it's this, you know, the house on the right, but the person on the left has been using it for so long that everybody thinks they own it. I had a situation.
So the easement is saying that the neighbor can use that piece of property.
Sure. Okay. Yes. So the easement is the right of one person to use somebody else's property for something.
Oh.
You know, so it could be access, which is the normal, mm-hmm. the most common type of easement. But it could be an easement to timber the property or an easement to
work on the side of the house.
To work on the side of the house, exactly. Or you can even get an easement in the oil and gas sense for putting in a pipeline, a gas pipeline on the property somewhere. We recently did a bunch in Scranton for a flood project, a flood abatement project that's happening, and the city took easements in order to do that work on the new and the new system that they're going to put in. They needed easements from all those homeowners.
Yeah, there's a lot of utility easements.
Yes.
And then there's sewer pipes,
yep,
that run underground through properties.
Yes,
that's the way they used to do things.
All those overhead electrical wires; those are all
right,
based
poles,
on an
right?
easement.
So, what's the difference between an easement on a driveway and a shared driveway?
Well, they could be the same thing. It could be an easement to use that shared driveway. Now, if there's not an easement, then there's a big question about who actually owns that property. We have to look at the two deeds, and then what right does that neighbor continue to have? What if they've sold the house and now the neighbors aren't friendly anymore and they don't want to share the driveway anymore? The person who actually owns it doesn't want to share it anymore. That can be a real problem.
Mm-hmm. And then
I can't get my car out of the garage.
You know, yeah. There are properties that have mm-hmm. a garage and the left side belongs to the left house, and the right
yeah,
side.
Yeah, we've seen that. I've
yes,
seen that. Yeah,
we've
yeah, yeah.
seen that. And the right side, it's a shared garage.
Like right down the middle.
They really should have a shared maintenance agreement for the roof and the upkeep of the garage, sure. But they probably don't.
Right.
Especially in our area, you know, the houses are, a lot of times, we have very older, we have old neighborhoods, and a lot of times this has been going on for generations.
Yeah, but people used to like to share.
Yes.
The people don't like to share anymore.
Correct.
What's mine is mine.
Yeah, there's a lot of only children out
yes,
there.
Yes, there's yeah. a lot, right.
And neighbor disputes are the worst.
Oh, yeah.
The worst, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm scared of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I had so you want to talk about a unique situation? I had a house some time ago in a development in Dunmore, and underground, like diagonally through this lot, it wasn't on an edge or on the fringe. It was like right through, it was a large lot, was an abandoned sewer line.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Abandoned. So we had to go back and get something from the sewer authority claiming that it was abandoned. It had to be in writing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they terminated it in the land records then?
I don't know if it was, because it was some time ago. I don't know if it was terminated, but extinguished.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was extinguished.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you really have to do in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they ran new ones, they could do that.
Right.
And it didn't go through this property.
Oh, my goodness.
How about that?
That's
something.
And I think it happens more than you would think it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, never a dull moment in what we do, Michelle. Attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
We are on Kaiser Avenue in Taylor, and our phone number is 570-209-7901. You can get us on the internet at www.obrienlawpa.com or www.pinnacle-abstract.com.
Thank you, Pat.
Yes, we have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home at 441 Pancoast Street in Troop for $249,000. this well-maintained home. It's got three spacious bedrooms. The home sits on a 75 by 115 lot, and it has low taxes of only $1,700 a year. It has a finished lower level, a built-in garage, plenty of off-street parking, and is in move-in condition in a very convenient location. That's a three-bedroom, two-bath, bi-level home at 441 Pancoast Street in Troop for $249,000, and that's listed by Karen Kashuba of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Stick around for more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate and 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll resume in just a few moments.
Home. It's more than just walls and a roof. It's where laughter echoes, where memories are made, and where life truly happens. At Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we know that finding the right home isn't just about real estate. It's about finding your place in the world. With trusted agents, unmatched experience, and a commitment to your dreams, we're here to guide you every step of the way. Because at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we're not just selling houses, we're delivering the joy of home. Find your perfect home today. Call 570-344-6724 or go to jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Dream big. Move boldly. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate and 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
And we're back.
Yes, we are. We have a fabulous sponsor this week. If you're looking to turn your gold, silver, or fine jewelry into top dollar, head to Campus Jewelers. They specialize in buying, selling estate and engagement pieces, gold, antiques, coins, watches, and more. From broken chains to class rings, mismatched earrings to dental gold, they buy it all, and they guarantee the highest cash paid. Always buying, always fair, and all trades of value considered. Visit Campus Jewelers at 476 Bennett Street in Luzerne. Call 570-288-1966 or go to campusjewelers.com. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5, Saturdays, 10 to 3. Campus Jewelers, where your pieces are priceless. Okay, we are with attorney Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group, and Pinnacle Abstract. We're talking about title issues, things that come up, clouds on the title. So briefly, you touched on how to quiet title. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about that. The seller's obligation and agreement of sale in the Pennsylvania Association Realtors Agreement of Sale, I would assume with your agreements of sale, is that they have to give clear marketable title. And if they're unable to do so, they do have to reimburse the purchasers, all expenses, inspection fees, appraisal fees, any out-of-pocket expenses, title search, all of the expenses they incurred up to that point. So it's pretty important that the sellers give clear and marketable title.
Yes, absolutely.
And things pop up, and it's always a surprise. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, the most common, I will say, is when a mortgage was paid off, but the bank never sent a release.
Right. Yep. And that is a cloud on title, but it's not a matter for a quiet title action. A quiet title action is a very involved process. It involves probably a good deal of time and court filings, so there are legal fees involved. But you might want to use a quiet title action there are some situations where that's the only thing that will clear it up. If you have an heir that comes out of the woodwork, if you have, an estate situation, if you have an adverse possession situation where you have that shared driveway we were talking about, but one person has used it for more than 21 years, that would be a situation where a quiet title action or an adverse possession claim might be appropriate. What it is it goes to the court and you present all the information to the court and you show the court that you've provided proper notice to everybody who may have some sort of an interest in the case. And then the court gets to decide, and the court's order will then clear title if they say, we've reviewed everything and we agree that the shared driveway is in fact a shared driveway and the neighbor can continue to use it, or the neighbor owns half of it now, or whatever the court's going to say. That would be what happens in a quiet title action. It makes the actual final decision when there's nothing on record that clears it up.
Usually people that have that completed payment on the mortgage and they don't have the release documentation that the bank is supposed to send, you know, final or finished or completed or whatever that stamp is. If that lender, like the example you said in the first half of the show, goes out of business and the subsequent lenders, the mortgage companies that owned it, are out of business, eventually would it have to go for quiet title if you can't?
It could. Usually a title insurance company will insure over it, but very often, and there are companies that do this. We actually have a company employed to help. You know, we've hired a company to help us get this cleared. That's all they do is track down these owners, because a bank doesn't go out of business and not sell its assets. So somebody did buy those assets. And so it's just a matter of tracking down the right person in the chain to figure out who actually owns those assets and who has to file the release, or who's responsible for filing the release in that situation. But usually it's not that complicated, and usually we are able to get a resolution pretty quickly with a unsatisfied mortgage. Even if it's one or two banks removed, we usually, this is the first one in within the last year that we've had a problem getting resolved.
All right. Well, that's good to know, because I think that's most common when it comes up and we're told there's a title issue. That's the one we're coming across
the most.
That
is the most common one for sure.
Okay. So title insurance, do you ever see that somebody has to use it and put in a claim?
Absolutely. That's why we're here. You know, we do a lot of the searching in advance so we can avoid claims, of course. But occasionally something happens. Occasionally there is a situation that is, you know, you can claim it under the title insurance, and it does happen. And the title insurance companies have full claims departments for what happens if the searcher missed a mortgage that didn't get paid off, or taxes that didn't get paid off, or an estate that we thought had been paid, but it hadn't been paid, something like that. That's what your title insurance is for, and that's who you call. As soon as something like that comes up, you call the title insurance agent. If the agent's not in business, you call the underwriter, and that's their job. They have a whole department for that.
And that's even something that you have to sometimes dig deep, because places go out of business.
Yes. The underwriters don't tend to go out of business. There are some pretty big underwriters, and I think they have most of the title insurance company market.
Okay. Attorney Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group, and Pinnacle Abstract, how does someone get in touch with you?
Sure. We are at www.obrienlawpa.com or pinnacle-abstract.com, and our phone number is 570-209-7901.
And your specialties are?
We practice all things real estate, so residential, commercial, title, anything real estate related, oil and gas business, and commercial lending. I represent a lot of banks.
Very good. Would you come back next week?
Of course.
Thank you, Pat.
She's a regular. She'll be back next week. We have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home at 1506 Madison Avenue in Dunmore for $289,000. This home, it's in the Hollywood section of Dunmore, and it sits on a large 60 by 180 lot. The home has hardwood floors, original woodwork, and pocket doors. It also has a large detached garage and plenty of off-street parking. That's a beautifully maintained 3-bedroom, 2-bath home in the heart of Dunmore at 1506 Madison Avenue for $289,000, and that's listed by Dan Callahan of our office.
Thank you, Pat. I'd like to wish everybody out there a very happy healthy Thanksgiving. Enjoy wherever you go, whatever you do.
Happy Turkey Day.
Remember to tune in next week, Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate and 94.3 FM The Talker.